We ask you now, Father God, by the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God, help us to speak this out, that you get glory and we get understanding and wisdom from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Jump over with me real quickly, and then we'll get back into that. Into Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's look at verse 16 here. We'll just read familiar scriptures. Should be for you. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. All the seed. Not to that only which is of the law. That's talking about Old Testament saints. But to that which also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. The Bible says, if you be Christ, over in Galatians, it says, and if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Every one of us are heirs, and because we're in Christ, we're also the seed of Abraham. But see, when God promised, and we're going to talk about Abraham some, but when he said, promised that he was going to bring him seed, it didn't say seeds. He said seed, and that seed was Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, then, we all are blessed. Because we're all children of Abraham. Come on. Why? Because we're in Christ. Every born-again believer is part of the seed of Abraham. And therefore, you're entitled to all the promises, all the blessings, all the inheritance. Everything that was promised to Abraham and his family is promised to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now let me go on. He said he's father of us all. And as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. See, folks, faith is not hoping and wishing. Faith is calling something that you can't see, you can't understand, you're calling that into existence by faith. That's what God does. And he said that's what you do through your faith. Remember, God spoke into nothing and created everything. See, some of you are not speaking to anything. You're not stirring up anything around you. You're not stirring your faith. You're taking the consequences of whatever life throws at you, and you're just thinking that it is just fate. But there's no such thing as just fate. You make your life through your words. When you speak out, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So you see, we've not been taught these things, and you have here at this church, but folks have not been taught, so that's why we're all the time speaking the negativity instead of the positive. Turn on your news and see how much positive you get. Why? Because they're tuned in to the negative. And it seems like for folks, the worse the news is, the more they want to watch it. The worse things are, the more they want to see. They don't want to hear things and positive things. They won't, matter of fact, they won't even publish them. Come on. See, so you've got to understand calling things that be not as though they were, that's part of your heritage as a child of God. Why? Because it's what God does. That's what Daddy does. Anybody want to do what Daddy does? Come on now. Let's go on. Who against hope, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Remember Jesus, Stephanie talked about us having the hope. That he might be the father, become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Notice that seed be, one seed. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he's giving this decree of Abraham. He's he's giving him the accolades that he deserves. You know, he's talking about him being the father of our faith. He's talking about how he believed God and how he staggered not at the promises of God and how it was imputed to him for righteousness, and it's imputed to us for righteousness if we believe. Notice that. Now, here's something I want you to notice, though. Do you see any negativity in what Paul was saying about Abraham? You don't see, he's not writing about the 9 different times that God had to come to Abraham and remind him of the promise. He's not talking about any of the times that Abraham failed. He's not talking about when Abraham tried to bring God's promise through an Egyptian. Notice that. See, here's the thing. Most of the time, people don't talk about the failures when they're trying to give somebody accolades. Right? What do you know about Thomas Edison? Thank you. I'm going to have to check some folks. Maybe they ain't been. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Right? How many knows how many times he failed trying to invent the light bulb? I don't remember, but it was many, 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 many times. But they don't talk about that. They talk about Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, right? And a lot of times when we're looking at the Word of God, we see this and we see Abraham and Paul declaring his accomplishments, but Paul doesn't mention the sacrifices it took him to get to where he got. And so today I want to talk to you just a little bit about sacrifices, because people only see the finished product. They don't see the work that went into it. And a lot of times, of course, you know, folks will talk about you. You know, I mean, we know for experience. We were just talking yesterday about the vehicles we wore out before the church got a vehicle. You know, nobody talks about that. Matter of fact, when the first Cadillac that we ever had, people were driving up down the road talking about, oh, well, that's where all the church's money would go to. They didn't have a clue that I took money out of my 401k from my strip mine job in order to be able to pay for that car. With my money. Not the church. Church didn't pay a dime for that thing. And we ran the wheels off of that because we used it just like it was the church vehicle. You see, but people don't see those things. They'd rather talk about you. And see, that's the thing. You don't care. You just have to put... I learned when we were still in a rented building down there not paying attention to what people say. People still call us a cult. It's amazing. People still think that you've got to pay to come here to church. I mean, there's... And you have to just, in your own mind, you have to think about this. Who in their right mind would pay to go to church? My God, you couldn't pay them to get them to come to church. Right? If you were giving them money, they wouldn't come to church. They might for a little bit till they got a little money. Then they'd quit. And there's people out there that don't have the mental capacity to know better than you guys are not paying to come here to church. And I have to just question that. You know, they can talk about us they want to, but you kind of got to look and say, right? What is your intelligence level that you would believe that kind of lie? Come on now. But see, people love dirty laundry. They love to talk about folks. So here's the thing. You're going to be talked about anyway. But people won't see what you had to sacrifice in order to get to where you got. People look at this place and they drive by and it is beautiful. God has blessed, and I'm going to tell you something. This is all God. God did it all. Amen. Before Brother D and Brother Bill Hard got to retire, it was me and Jerry. And I didn't know. See, I was just a young pastor. I just was into this thing. I had no idea that the church could pay for our food while we were working on the church. And me and Brother Jerry would go to Dairy Queen a lot of times and have to see how much money we had between us to buy us a hamburger while we were working on the church. This is a true ask. Right there he sits. You can ask him. We had no clue. You know, I'd say, how much money you got, Jerry? And you'd say, I've got this and this. And I'd say, I've got this and this. And we'd go down there and we'd buy us like a hamburger and something. I think Sister Rosie might even work down there during that time when we'd come in. You know, and nobody knows that. I'm telling you now, but nobody saw that. But God saw that. He saw our sacrifice. And He's blessed us. So when I look at all this, I understand. But, you know, now everybody just, you know, well, look at that. That's all they do is they give Him their money. But no, God blesses. God blesses. He honors faithfulness. But you've got to understand, in your faith, there'll always be some kind of sacrifice. Amen. Stephanie was just talking about tithing. You have to give if you want to get. Do I need to prove that by Scripture? She talked about the tithe in Malachi. There in Luke's... I've got it. See, I went totally blank. I'm talking about give and it shall be given. Luke, what is it? 6:38. It just would not come. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. Give and it shall be given. Notice that. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. Run over. Right? Give and it'll be given. Notice that. There was a commandment before it comes back. There was a sacrifice you had to give so that it could come back. And people shake their head and they don't understand. Well, I just don't understand this and I don't understand that, you know. And then, of course, people get on their little bucket. Well, you guys built that big church up there and you could have took some of that money and give it to the poor. Can I ask you a question? How much you've given to the poor lately? I don't see you sitting up side of the road and just giving money away to people. But you see, people always looking for talking points so that they can get the spotlight off them over onto somebody else. Amen. See, God didn't intend for us to build churches and His houses begging for money. God intended for His church to be self-sufficient. This ain't in my notes. I'm just telling you what God's saying, because what Stephanie said kind of just sparked something in me. Because if we want to really walk in this blessing, we've got to understand there'll be a sacrifice there. I know you don't want to hear that, but let me just show you about Abraham, okay? I'll try to get back on track here. You kind of got on a little soapbox there, but I'm going to just keep on, and I'm not going to stop until I get to where God wants me. It doesn't matter the sacrifice. We were just talking last night, you know, Pastor Rhett and I were talking about when we accepted the jobs of pastors, we surrendered our life, even though it was surrendered to Christ, but then we surrendered our life to this church. And people don't know that a lot of times. But this church comes first. The church comes first when we make doctor's appointments. The church comes first when we got to do this or we got to do that. Church comes first. We, you know, sometimes it's inevitable that you have to do something, fix something on Wednesdays, but we do it in the mornings on Wednesdays, so we make sure we get to church on Wednesday night. We've been here now how many years? This will be our 26th anniversary coming up, right? And we've taken how many vacations? We went with Stephanie and Austin once. I don't know if we missed the Sunday or not, though. You know, and of course I missed some Sundays going to Haiti on missionary trips, but I was still in church. I just wasn't in this church. You see what I'm saying? We got a camper. It's sitting in our yard that we were blessed with. And so far we've not been able to find the time really to take off and go camping. It's sitting there. And see, you're looking at me funny, but we don't regret it, see? Because we know God blesses the sacrifice. We've watched Him bless us throughout our life, you know. And right now, God's blessed us more than we've ever been blessed in our lives. Thank God for that. You know, and I really seriously believe that it's the sacrifices. It's not just this church, and it's not just because we're pastors. See, a lot of folks will think, yeah, but you're all the pastors, you know, you have to. No, when we were over in Paintsville in another church and helping build that church, I worked night shifts and I was four on, four off. All by four off, we would work and sometimes all night long on that church. And there was somebody else that was pastor of that church. But our hearts, see, we didn't look at it like we were doing it for that church, that building, or for that pastor. We were doing it for God. See, your sacrifice is to God, and God sees that. The Bible says that what you do in secret, God will reward it openly. And people, they won't see this sacrifice, but they'll see the blessing. But that's what the Bible says. Let your light shine so that people can see it. And so that's that. When we see this and when I start looking at Abraham, I start thinking about, you know, Paul's given the finished product. But let's just go over to Genesis chapter 11 here. And let's just pick up a little bit and see what Abraham kind of sacrificed as he went along. First of all, let's look at verse 31 in chapter 11 of Genesis. And Terah, which is Abraham's father, took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur to the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, I'm just giving you a little background here. This is Abraham with his father, with his wife, with his nephew, and they're coming and traveling, and then they stay there in Haran until Abraham's father dies. Now look at verse 12. Now the Lord had said, anybody ever catch that? And the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I'll show thee. The Lord had said that. So that tells me God had already told Abraham to separate himself from his family and get out of that country. He had had to have told him that because the Bible would have said, and the Lord told him. But it said he had said to him. But see, Abraham was trying to hold on. There he's with his father. Notice that he stays there in that land till his father dies. And then we start to read that he's moving out now. Now look what he says, because I want you to get this. The Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I'll show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, notice here, when he leaves, he's got Lot, his nephew. Notice, away from your father's house and away from your kindred, and he's still got Lot with him, his nephew with him. And so he leaves out. He goes, I'm going to kind of paraphrase to help you get a hold of this a little bit. But he leaves out. He goes down into Egypt. He gets afraid because apparently even at like 70 years old or 65 years old, Sarah is very beautiful, and Abraham is afraid that the king of Egypt is going to take his wife. He says, so you tell him that you're my sister, which was a half lie. Okay? Because she was his half sister. You tell them that you're my sister so that they won't kill me and take you. So they get down there, and of course, the Pharaoh's loving her. She's beautiful. He wants to take her as a wife. But God comes in on the scene and says, no, you can't touch her. That's his wife. He comes into Abraham and says, why didn't you tell me that was your wife? I was afraid you'd kill him. And he says, get them out of here. And then the Bible says, when they came up out of Egypt, I'm going to read it for you just in a minute. It says that Abraham was very rich. Rich in cattle and gold and silver. And Lot also had cattle. And what happened? Lot got rich because he was traveling with Abraham. It pays you to get around people that know the prosperity of God. Don't be messing with these people that think the prosperity message is false, because it's not false. It's true. It's the Word of God. Has it been prostituted? Absolutely it has. Stay away from these shysters. But somebody that knows the true Word of prosperity from the Word of God, get around them because they're prepared for increase. They've made themselves prepared for God to bless them. Notice what He says. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless them that bless you. Anybody, do you see that? See, when people get around you, if you're blessed, they're going to get blessed. I want to be around blessed people. I don't want to be around negative people. I don't want to be around people that think God can't do this and God can't do that and God wants you broke and all. No, I want to be around people that know what the Word of God says. That's the kind of people you want to get around. So they come back and they come out of there and they're rich. So, you know, we see then he left his family behind, even though Lot went with him. Hebrews 11:8, let me tell you what it says real quickly. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, jump over there. We're out there. Look in Genesis 13. You can just keep look ahead a little bit. Genesis 13, 1 and 2. And it came to pass, and Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham, or Abram at this time, was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. See, right there it is in the Word of God. Went down. He actually told that lie. And God still blessed him. Why? Because he was obeying God by moving out. He's left his father's land. And he's went and he's going where God's telling him to go, even though he don't know where he's going. He gets down there, gets in trouble, but God brings him out and brings him out rich. Now, here's what begins to happen then. Over in chapter 13, Lot's people, his herdsmen and all those, now are starting to get to bicker with Abram's people because they're so rich and they're so plentiful and so bountiful that there's not really enough grazing land for both companies. And so now, here's sacrifice one, Abraham left all of his family, but he still had his nephew with him. Sacrifice two was that Abraham came over and got with Lot and said, now listen, we can't have a schism between us. We're family. We don't want anything to happen. So you pick which way you want to go. Any direction you go, I'll go the opposite direction, and that way there won't be a clash between our people, our herds, and all that. And of course, most of you know the story that Lot chose to go the direction and ends up down in Sodom. And Abraham goes the other direction. So sacrifice two is now Abraham has to give up his nephew. So now there's no family. But remember what God said. Get out of the country, away from your father's house, and away from your kindred. So now Abraham has just fulfilled what God had told him by letting Lot go. Now let's pick up over here in 13, Genesis 13, 14. Look what it says. And the Lord said unto Abram, look, after that Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. Notice that. Now, Abraham, because he's made that sacrifice to separate himself from his kindred, now the Lord speaks to him and begins to remind him of his promise again. You see, we try to do the same thing to God. God will speak to us about doing something, and we try to do it part ways. Right? Come on now. We've been talking some about tithing. Might as well make somebody else mad. But me and Pastor Ed, you know, we were kind of like that. Because we'd never heard tithing preached and all of that. You know, we just, you know, places we went to, you just give what you wanted to give or whatever. And then we heard the word about tithing and we didn't have much money. You know, we just kind of check to check people. You know, and so when we heard that you're supposed to give 10% of the gross, we were like, how are we going to do that? Maybe, you know, maybe we just tithe on net. Isn't that the same? Or maybe I'll just keep my nephew. Right? Right? Come on now. See, that's, I know it's not. People have a hard time with this. But it wasn't until we actually got a hold of it and started doing what we were supposed to that we actually saw God really start to bless us. God will bless you as much as He can. He's still blessing Abraham. Remember, he came out very rich. But it's the inheritance that God wanted to get Abraham over into. He's blessing him on the way, but I've got an inheritance for you. I got a seed for you. I'm going to give you a seed, and you're already too old to get seed. Right? I'm going to do a miracle through you and Sarah. Think about that for a minute. And that through that miracle, I'm going to bring my son to the earth. See, that's what God's plan was. He's working toward bringing Jesus to the earth. And He's doing it through Abraham. So Abraham, he's having some sacrifices, but God is blessing him as he sacrifices. So now that he's departed from Lot, God starts speaking to him, starts telling him what he's going to be able to do. So look over here in verse 20, go to chapter 21, and while you're going there, let me tell you a little story. Because of what God had been promising, and because Abraham and Sarah were getting older, matter of fact, they were waiting 25 years before they finally get that promise to come to pass. Think about that one. We can't wait 15 minutes. Right? But you see, they were human just like you and I. So during their waiting period, Sarah looks at Abram and says, "You know, I got this fine-looking Egyptian handmaid over here. Maybe God wants us to raise up, I'll get to raise up seed through her. And you can go into her and we'll have kids that way." Of course, Abraham, being the man of faith that he was, says, "Mm-hmm. Yep, okay." Right? So he goes into her. She gets pregnant. As soon as she gets pregnant, Sarah's mad. She's the one told him to do it. You ladies. Right, men? They tell us to do something and get mad at us because we do it? Yeah, they get that from God, though, right? You remember Balaam, when God told him to go ahead and the angel's waiting with the big sword? She told him to do it. She's mad the minute she gets pregnant. Then after she has Ishmael. It's a boy. And of course, for Abraham, that's my boy. Don't matter if it's from an Egyptian woman, that's my boy. You know, and I'm sure Abraham loved him with all of his heart. And you know, my boy is here and he's grown up now and he's a young lad now. Then all of a sudden, Sarah ends up pregnant. And out from Sarah comes the promise. Out from Sarah comes Isaac. And Isaac's born and they're making over Isaac. Now this is my baby, you know, Sarah now. Here's my son. And during the process of some of the things they were doing with Isaac, Ishmael started mocking. You know, kids will be kids, right? He starts mocking. And Sarah sees him mocking and she says, "I want him out of my house. He's mocking my kid." Which tells me that apparently she wasn't taken too kindly to Ishmael. Well, you'd have to kind of think that if Ishmael and the Egyptian woman was there and Sarah was there, she probably felt a little bit like an outcast, wouldn't you think, maybe? Oh, come on, you ladies, here's Abraham, and you just see your husband looking at that boy and then look at the Egyptian woman because that's the mother of that boy, and you're going to be like, "Hey, that's my man. Don't you be looking at my man like that." Come on now. Can we just be real? I mean, these were real human beings. Probably wasn't too comfortable in that household with both those women in there. Come on, and Sarah not being able to have a kid, and now she's had the kid, and now that other kid is making fun of my kid. So he says, they got to go. Got to put them out of the house. And of course, Abraham, that's his boy. And she's telling him to put his boy. And he's having a hard time with it. But God speaks to him and says, you do like your wife said. Go ahead and send them off. And you read, and here Abraham is. He's given them some food. He's given them for some provisions. He has to just send them off to nowhere. His son. Send him out into the world, out to nothing. With just what they're carrying. How many knows that was a sacrifice? I don't care if it was by the Egyptian woman. That was still his son. Come on now. He loved that son. And God spoke to him, you know, and he's sending him off. Because God said, go ahead and do it. But then God says this. Don't worry, Abraham. That's your son. I'm going to bless him too. And he's going to be over many nations. And so we see the sacrifice, but we also see God bless the son just because he's Abraham's son. And Abraham's being obedient and he believes God. Remember all that Paul wrote, how Abraham believed God. Beyond hope, he believed in hope. And here he is, 100 years old. Sarah, 90 years old. They've got a kid. They have a child at that age. But it's sacrifice. And so as we read on through the book of Genesis, we get down and you get over into Genesis chapter 22. And all of a sudden, God speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, here I am, my Lord. I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him and sacrifice him up on the mountain that I'll show you. What? I waited 25 years for this boy. You made me send my other boy off. And you telling me you want me to take him up there and sacrifice him. You're thinking, I'm just thinking in my mind here. What Abraham did was he got up the next morning, fixed the wood for the sacrifice, got them all together and said, come on, we're going to this mountain. He didn't even question God. He's just taking him. And he gets to the place, and once he gets there, he just knows that's the place. And he tells the guys with him there, all of his help there, he says, you guys stay here. Me and the lad, we're going to go up on the mountain, and we're going to sacrifice, and we'll return to you. Notice he said, we will return to you. He didn't say, I'll return to you. Hebrews tells us there, I think it's Hebrews 11:7 there, that Abraham believed God to the point that even if he sacrificed and killed Isaac, God was able to raise him from the dead because he was the promised seed through which God was going to bless every nation. Abraham goes up on the mountain. His son's walking with him. And the son's probably pretty smart, pretty sharp. Because he looks around and he asks, he says, Father, yeah, I see here that we've got the wood, we've got fire, but where's the sacrifice at? What are we sacrificing? And Abraham says, God, we'll provide a sacrifice. And he goes up and then he binds Isaac. Hands and feet. Lays him up on an altar that he built. Puts the wood there. And he gets ready and he got the knife in his hand and he draws back. And he would have killed him. But God said, stop. We know he would have killed him from Hebrews. He believed that God would raise him from the dead if he had to. But he was also believing that God wasn't going to make him sacrifice his son. So he drawled back. He's going through with it. And God says, stop. Interesting. God says, now I know. The all-knowing God says, now I know. See, people don't understand free will like they should. Abraham had a free will. Abraham could have said, I can't do it. Just like Jesus, remember I talked about in the garden. Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But he had to say this, nevertheless, your will be done and not mine. Because his will wills if there's any other way. Right? Now I know, Abraham, that you love me. Abraham turned around and there was a ram caught in the thicket. God provided the sacrifice. See, Abraham was willing to sacrifice the only kid he had to obey God. And God blessed him and gave him another sacrifice. Paul didn't talk about that in all of his accolades of believing God. He didn't talk about him having to run off a son and take the son that he had and take him and put him on an altar to get ready to make him a burnt offering. But he had to do that. He had to believe God and obey God and follow through because he wanted what God had for him. And so Hebrews 11:17 said this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. All through the Bible, we see people that sacrifice or made sacrifices in order to bring about the will of God and the promises of God. I started thinking kind of about it. Abraham went through all that. Paul didn't talk about it, but he went through all that in order to bring it to pass. God's will. To bring that bloodline. To bring it into where he could bring Jesus Christ into this earth. When we read about Joseph, how many of you knows who Joseph is? Remember, Joseph is the one that his father made him the coat of many colors. It probably were whoever wrote the song, Coat of Many Colors, got their ideal from. But the Bible says that Israel loved Joseph more than all the rest of his kids because he was the child of his old age. So he made him that coat of many colors. He's running around there in a coat that's been specially made for him. His brothers are all looking and jealous. They all knew he loved Joseph more. Joseph dreamed dreams. He dreamed dreams of everybody bowing down to him, even the mom and dad. You know, and he's just bold enough to go and tell his brothers what he dreamed. And that just fueled the fire. They're even madder now. You know, you dreamer. Yeah. And so the brothers are down with the sheep. The father says, go down and check, see how they're doing. Even on the way in, one of them says, there comes that dreamer. He's probably coming down here so he can go back and tell tales on us. And so when he gets down there, they make a plot. Let's kill him. Let's just kill him. And that way we won't have to deal with him anymore. We'll tell the father that the wolves got him or something. You know. And the older brother says, no, we better not kill him. Let's do this. Let's kill one of the lambs. We'll put blood on his clothes, send it back. We'll make sure Dad thinks. And they put him in a pit. Now, he was planning on going back and getting him out of that pit. But in the meantime, here come some travelers through. A caravan. And they sold Joseph to the caravan. Now, Joseph gets taken captivity. He's taken down and ends up as a slave in Potiphar's house. I'm showing you some sacrifices here. Now think about this. The favorite son of Israel has now been, his death has been faked. Father's tore all to pieces. He's crying. He just, you know, he's beside himself. That's his favorite son. Now here is Joseph. He's been sold and he goes down and now he's a slave in an Egyptian house. But you know what happened? Why he's the slave in the Egyptian house, God blesses him to the point because the Bible says that he was the favorite of Israel. Therefore, because Israel was obedient to God, that blessing of the Father is now on the Son that's obeying God. How do I know he's obeying God? Because God blessed Potiphar's house to the point the Bible says Potiphar didn't have anything that was under him except his wife. And so God's blessing just because Joseph's in the house, and all of a sudden now the wife starts getting her eye on Joseph, trying to get him to lie with her, and he says, I would not do that to my God, neither would I do it to my master. See, he's faithful. God's blessing because he's faithful. And it comes to the point, finally, that she just grabs him. I mean, she's about to have him. And he takes off and he runs from her, jerks his coat off from him while he's running and gets away. And then she starts screaming and crying rape. Even left his coat behind. Of course, Potiphar's in a rage. Potiphar has him put in prison. So here he is again. He's been blessed. God, and now, once again, in prison. And while he's in prison, guess what happens? The favor of God happens. Why? Because he's being obedient to God still. He becomes over the prison. The jailer makes him in charge of things. And there's a baker and a butler there that the Pharaoh got mad at. He's thrown them in jail. And they have dreams. And God gives Joseph the interpretation of their dreams. And of course, for the baker, he tells him, he says, in about 3 days, he's going to come get you, bring you back up there so you can fix him all that good food and serve him and all that. And everything's going to be all right with you. And when you get up there, don't you forget I'm here. I'm here. I interpreted your dream. Don't you forget that. I'll put in a good word. Right? The butler, 3 days, man, you're gone. Going to cut your head off, hang you up. Probably wasn't too good news for him. But the baker forgot about Joseph. 2 years, he left him there. And then Pharaoh had a dream. And nobody could interpret the dream. Everybody, he was calling, come tell me, interpret this dream. And then all of a sudden the baker, I forgot. 2 years ago, this guy down there in the prison, he was able to interpret the dreams and it happened just exactly the way he said. Pharaoh said, get him up here. And he gets up there and he tells him the dream and Joseph begins to lay it out. This is what God says is going to happen. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. You need to gather. And he starts talking about it. He said, you need to get you a man in charge of this right now and get things. And he looked at him. He looks at him and says, you the man. Who better than you would know how to do this since God's shown you all this? What I want to show you is look at the things Joseph sacrificed. And now here he is standing by Pharaoh. Second in command. Matter of fact, Pharaoh makes him second in command. He's in charge of all this stuff. And he's able to save his family from starvation. He saves the nation of Israel because he made all those sacrifices. God used him to bless Israel and save them. See, nobody sees really the things they went through. Now they just seeing Joseph here standing beside the Pharaoh. Those folks didn't know all he had went through. And those brothers that sold him into slavery and said, we'll never bow before you, came down to Egypt and bowed before him. See, God is faithful. Think about that for me. I think about Moses' mother. Remember when Moses is born, he's a godly child. The Pharaoh says, I want all the men, children. They're getting to be too many of them. Kill them all. And when Moses is born, they see he's a godly child. They got a sacrifice. We can't keep him, they'll kill him. And she put him in that little basket. Can you imagine being a mother and trying to put your little child in a basket, hoping that somebody's going to come along and find him? Of course, God made sure she did. Pharaoh's daughter comes along, finds him. His Moses' sister's hiding over the bushes, coming out. Would you like for me to find somebody to take care of that baby for you? Why, yes, why don't you? I know just the person. And his mother gets to raise him to a certain extent. But as he gets older, he's still Pharaoh's daughter's child because she's claimed him. So now, look at this. Moses' mother sacrificed. God blesses. She gets to raise him. Now, here we have him in the palace. Pharaoh's grandchild. Right? His daughter raised him, claimed him as a son. So here he is being raised up also in Pharaoh's palace. But the Bible says that he chose to sacrifice the riches of Egypt. Sacrifice the riches of Egypt so that he could lead the children of God out of captivity. See, sacrifices, church, and of course we know how blessed Moses was. God used him in a mighty way. What I'm trying to show you here is that nobody knows what you've been through to get to where you're at right now. And there'll be things that you go through. There'll be things that you have to do in order to get to the place God wants you to be. And it's not always going to be pleasant. But when you're obedient to God, God will bless you. The greatest sacrifice ever in the Word of God was the Lord Jesus Christ giving His life for all of us. We know He didn't want to go through it. It was a sacrifice He was going to have to make, sacrificing His life for all of us. He died on that cross, giving His life for our life. Think about that for a minute. I told you this the other day, that He did it for the joy that was set before Him. That's us, worshiping Him, our free will to make Him Lord of our life. Let me ask you this. If Jesus could sacrifice His physical life for us, is it too much to ask for us to sacrifice our life for Him? No, I'm not talking about you have to die. I'm not talking about you have to go to a cross. I'm just talking about that you give up the sin. You give up the dark side in order to come over into the light. That's all God asked of us. And that's not much. Once we get into the kingdom of God, then He asks us, just keep doing what's right. Don't let the darkness pull you back in. You stay in the light and you be a light. And people will see the finished product. They won't know what you went through to get there. But they'll see that and they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. They'll see that light. And that's what God wants. God wants everybody to see that light of God on the inside of us. So they realize that there is really a God that can bring you from nothing all the way to His glory. Think about that for a minute. Joseph, he went from a pit to the palace. God brought you out of a miry clay. He brought you out of a pit. And He's placed you in His kingdom. You're one of His family. He adopted you and gave you all the privileges of sonship and daughtership and says, now I want you to have it all. There may be some sacrifices that you have to make, but it'll be worth it because I will bless you. Would you stand to your feet with me? God wants us all walking in blessing. He wants us all in His perfect will so that He can bring about His plan in our lives and so that He can be glorified through that. When people look at us, we want them to see God in us and see what God has done in us. And God will get glory for that. Let's pray.